I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my love Notari in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to catch a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, we're digging the sounds. He got on chains backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Drac's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It's now a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drac's a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on with a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash food!
Easy, Igor, you impetuous
monster
young boy.
Mash food!
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans. Broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live 365, Ustream, and Shoutcast has made the UPRN the longest-running, highly rated, and best source of quality, unique programming that is not afraid of the status quo in alternative media. This station has a solid course of shows and hosts that refuse to get stuck in a rut or be overrun by a groupthink mentality, because station owner, host, and iCar founder Joe Montaldo knows the value of letting his talented stable of hosts grow uninhibited. In this genre, that's an accomplishment which many in alternative radio...
Live, Discovery Paranormal. We are on the verge of Halloween. Halloween. You know what? Halloween is the ghost hunter's Christmas. It is the day that we all get to open our gifts and see what kind of ghost hunting equipment that we've gotten. You see what kind of places we can go and investigate. Dive right in. There's a million places and a million stories and a million people who can't sleep tonight because they got some issue going on, you know? So I got into this ghost hunting business. I can call it a business. I don't make any money from ghost hunting. We don't charge people anything. It's kind of just something that we do. But when I got into this ghost hunting business, I wanted a couple things out of it. I wanted to have a conversation, and I wanted physical proof. I wanted to see something. You know, I wanted to understand what I was dealing with was real. Otherwise, I wouldn't waste my time. You know, I'm not one of those people that's going to go out there and roam around in some dark building in the middle of the night when I could be home sleeping, you know, or doing something better, actually. So I do it because it's worth doing, and I do it because it's real. We communicate. We talk to all kinds of whatevers, depending on the situation. And we help people. And when we go into a place, like we have David, and this guy David was on the show, and we go into his place. I just posted the full-length video, part one anyway, on American Ghost Hunters. That's youtube.com/discoveryparanormal. Now, David is a guy that we met several years ago, I think 7 years ago now, that he's been tormented by a lot of spirits and tormented by a lot of things. He's, you know, an empath. He's a medium. He doesn't want to be a medium. He likes it. He doesn't like it. He likes the thought of it, then he doesn't like it. You know, when it gets real and you can't shut it off, he doesn't like it. Now, if you're an average person out there just living their lives, doing their thing, you know, 9 to 5, unless you've had experiences, all this stuff is not real to you because it's not tangible. You can believe what I'm saying. You cannot believe what I'm saying. I really don't care. I didn't go into it to make people believe something. I went into it to make me believe something, to show myself something, what I got out of it, and I share that with people. That's the deal. So when I ran into Peter Canellis, the guy I ghost hunt with, he had a lot of abilities. He is a dowser. He's all into that. I'm always trying to trip him up with those dowsing rods. Like always, I hide stuff. I move things around, whatever. They work. I wouldn't say they work. If I didn't think they worked, if they're a bunch of junk, I'd say it. I don't sit there and mince words and hold back. If any of you guys know me out there by now anyway, you know that I don't screw around with words. If I feel it, I feel it. I'll say it. Always be straight with you. Always be honest. Always be straight. And that's the only way to be. So we do an investigation. What we run into is what we run into. Whatever that is whatever that is. You know, nobody in our group manufactures. Nobody in our group lies about it. In fact, it's not even really a group. It's just Peter and I. And we add people in as per. We use mediums from different regions, but people that we believe in and trust and like. If we need the medium to come in, there's a lot of situations where mediums never really helped. You know, so it's much more of a situation where you want to move something on, change, shift the energy of a place. But people can also do that themselves. And that's a very important part of dealing. If you're living in a home that has activity, you're living with other people, basically, except they've moved on. But they haven't moved on. The essence of them is there. That energy is there. For whatever reason, they haven't moved on. So we've gone to places I've talked about here on the show, like the Erie Mansion in Clyde, New York, where a serial killer lived. A guy who killed a lot of women in that mansion. And there was a butler and a cook who attacked each other, and one cut the other one's head off. They found his headless body when they came home one day. So we safe to say, if that happens in a home, it's going to have some, it doesn't necessarily going to have that activity, but let's more talk about the energy, the disruption of energy in that positive, negative flow. And if it gives negativity, you're going to feel it. If it's a dank presence, what we call like an earthbound entity, something that is stuck here or chooses to be here, doesn't move on. We've found earthbound entities that couldn't even leave one little tiny space. Then we found earthbound entities that got in someone's car. We did a case where this guy committed suicide and jumped in front of this woman's car, her minivan, with her five kids in it. She ran him over, killed him. Dude got in the car. You know, she was a nurse. She runs out. She lays on top of him, like hugging him, saying, please don't die, that type of thing. He dies. And somehow, he attached himself to her, into that van, to that space, which is interesting because we run into a lot that were kind of just stuck where they were. Like, they didn't move around. They couldn't move around. They couldn't leave. They were stuck for whatever reason. We don't know. It's something that you get from every investigation, little pieces of a puzzle. You start putting things together. I've done over 100 investigations, and then they're all different. They're all different people, all different situations, all different. There are elements that are the same, but not all of them. So it all paints a picture eventually, and you start understanding more. And then when you think you understand something, you know something else proves itself different. So the laws that we go by, that ABC 123, doesn't apply to the paranormal world. It doesn't apply to different dimensional space. It doesn't apply to those areas, because those areas, those laws of physics don't apply to us. It's two different worlds. So what we think as we know what we know, our math, our science, and all the things that we know in this realm, is all bullcrap in other realms. It's the opposite, or it doesn't work, or it's different, or whatever. So, anyway, when you go into those heavy situations, you know that anything can come with you also. But this dude attached himself to this woman. Her 12-year-old son, after getting on, imagine, the whole family's traumatized. This guy commits suicide, jumps, you're driving your minivan with all your kids, you're coming out of an amusement park called Darien Lake, driving down the road. This guy's leaving a Rascal Flatts concert, and he decides to jump in front of a minivan and kill himself. His name is Casey. So he somehow attached himself to her, to the van, to whatever, and went from there all the way back to Homer, New York, which was quite a distance. You know, it's a good hour and a half, 2-hour drive, probably about two. So the 12-year-old son would be taking the garbage out, looked in the minivan, he sees this dude sitting in the front seat. The woman who was driving the minivan would go around and do her errands and look over and see him sitting there. Then he moved inside the house to the 5-year-old daughter's bedroom. So she decided she couldn't sleep in there anymore because her toys were going on by themselves and things were moving around. And this dude decides to go live in the closet. Then, during that summer, this woman has another son who's 16. One of his friends goes and commits suicide. So this house turns into this turbulent situation, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. The woman's life turned to crap. So she was a nurse. Her whole life turned to crap. She couldn't function, couldn't sleep. The kids couldn't sleep. They were afraid to be in their own home. And then one of her friends put her in touch with me. And he said, actually, he contacted me. And he said, hey, my friend's going through this thing. You know, she's a really great person. So Pete and I were like, yeah, sure. We'll come in. We brought Cole Berardi Wright, amazing medium. Not long on words, but very amazing with her ability. And that's more, you know, yeah, we put a show together. American Ghost Hunters is a show. And this is also viewable on YouTube.com/Discovery Paranormal. It's the Homer episode. It's more important to us to have the right person and the right tools rather than somebody who's talkative. Talkative doesn't always mean it's good. And I met a lot of psychics who talked a lot of crap, and they weren't even psychics. So Nicole Berardi Wright has an ability, and that ability is amazing, that she can see and talk to these entities. Amazing. So we brought her in, and she didn't get paid. And she came all the way from an hour away. So, I mean, we do it because we want to help people. It's about that. And share the experiences, because maybe other people out there are having similar experiences. And we get contacted by people that are having similar experiences. And then they're thinking, like, wait a minute, you know, there's something going on here. So the call comes in. We go right to the girl's bedroom, and we kind of just, you know, felt the energy, and Pete used 1,000 rods, but man, we were drawn right back there. The two bedrooms, but we stayed in the one, really. And that was, if you look at the show, that's the whole show. It's just us in that bedroom. And both of those guys, Casey, the one committed suicide, plus the other one committed suicide. Two suicides in that house. Two of these entities, these spirits hanging out. I mean, the one guy, the other one who the friend of her son who killed himself, he practically lived in that house. He was always there, always hanging out. It's the kind of house where kids could come and go and hang out and have a good time. It changed. The whole thing changed. The whole dynamic changed because of these events, because of these things that happened. So we go in there, bang, we start getting immediate activity, you know. We put a whole bunch of stuff down, all kinds of little ghost hunting toys, anything that we can get a reading on, anything that we can get intelligent contact, and it could be different any time. You know, we still use K2s and things like that, stuff from the olden days. We use tri-field meters. We use that. We put powder on the floor sometimes and look for footprints. So all of a sudden we start getting hit, another hit. And Nicole's doing her thing, and she's talking to these guys. And blah, 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 blah. You can watch the show if you want to see the rest of it. What it is... It wasn't some evil presence. It wasn't some demonic energy. It wasn't some unborn entity. It was just two guys who couldn't cope. One was young. One wasn't so young. Might have been Rascal Flatts. That's how mean. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of times that I don't know, negativity can hit you in situations like that. Drag you down. It's emotional. If you can't sleep at night, even worse. David couldn't sleep at night. He was a wreck. He was a freaking train wreck. He was on here on the show talking about it. It's in the archives. He was a wreck. I mean, like, you got to be able to sleep. You got to be able to snooze out for 6, 7, 8 hours, you know, whatever floats your boat. If you can't and you have disrupted sleep or you can't sleep at all, It destroys you. You know, it's bad for your health. It's bad for everything. So we went to David's place. It was all good, you know. I mean, like, we feel, Pete and I feel like we reasoned with what's there to make this understanding. But back to the Homer house, to make a long story short, the following day after the investigation, keep in mind, the little girl is 5 years old, the daughter. She didn't know ghost hunters were there. She didn't know there was an investigation. She went right into her bedroom. She actually went in to get one of her toys. But then she went in and she said to her mother, I can sleep in here now. Her mom's like, why? She said, Casey's gone now. She didn't talk about the other dude, but she said, Casey's gone now. It was a 5-year-old. What does she know about what was going on? You know, and what she heard or picked up. I mean, the whole family was having experiences. So to your average person, like I said, living their lives that has never experienced this type of thing, these guys don't know until you have dealt with a family who has gone through it, and they're in crisis. They're being tortured. So we live in a world full of a lot of angst right now, and negativity. I talk about that a lot, and I try to tell people just do good works and try to spread the love. It's hard, man, because sometimes people are so hard to love. The people that we deal with, even in our daily lives, can be really hard to love. We just go forward and we do our good works. When we do that for ourselves, it spreads out, and maybe one good act gets another one, and that's kind of the essence of it. But I'm going to talk about exorcisms, man. And Halloween is coming. And people always ask me, I talked about this too a couple weeks ago or whatever, people always ask me about, hey man, what kind of haunted place can we go visit? That's exactly how they sound too. Hey man, what kind of haunted place can we go visit for Halloween? I'm like, stay home, watch horror movies, eat candy, have sex, go to sleep. Or have sex and candy and tenguous. Whatever. Honestly, for you guys out there, especially you couples who are looking for something romantic to do, ghost hunting is not the most romantic thing you can do. And I do have friends who have bed and breakfast, the place with a serial killer. You know, the Erie Mansion is a bed and breakfast. Anybody can go there. You can rent out the suites. No one has ever stayed past 12:30. They've paid for the rooms. They've run out of there unless they passed out. There were people that passed out drunk. You know, it is. It's a 12,000 square foot mansion. There is not one cozy place in the whole joint. I've been there a dozen times. There's not one cozy little place in the whole 12,000 square feet. You tell me. Of course. Freaking serial killer there killed a bunch of prostitutes. What kind of place do you think that is? All kinds of funky rooms, with one with a sauna, one that has coffins, another one that's got a dancer pole, like two king-size beds sewn together in a dance pole, one full of alligator skins, baby alligator skins, and other with coffin as a coffee table. Yeah. That's the place. Romantic? Yeah, I guess, if you're really that. That's pretty dark. I do like dark girls like that sometimes. You know what I mean? But then if it's too dark, it gets a little, you know, Adam's Family. Gomez is a pisser. But really? So, it's good to have a balance, you know? And when people say, what do you do for Halloween? What do you do for... Well, go find a Halloween party. Now go to a club, man. You know, where they have Halloween this, whatever, costume party. People go to a casino, they have costume party. Don't go anywhere. You know, hang out. Dress up as a superhero and go chase away some evil clowns. You can do that. Be a vigilante. You know, be the block security. There's always something you can do on Halloween. As for going to find haunted places and walking around haunted buildings, you know, do you think those ghosts want you there? They barely want me there. And I'm there to talk to them. I'm there to help. I'm there to help them. I'm like Dr. Phil, but for the paranormal world, you know? Dr. Mike. I died. I don't know where to go. I'll be like, okay, go towards the light. It really is silly, though. When people say, hey, you know, what good place is there? And people try to make businesses out of haunted situations. You know, there's Shanley Hotel. That place is pretty popular. There's a bunch of them. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean you're going to have some kind of paranormal experience. And maybe you don't want one. You can carry that stuff home. We know lots of people. We can tell you stories about lots and lots and lots of people that ended up inviting things to come home with them. And they did. And when they did, they were sorely disappointed in the happenings. Not only the happenings, the shifting of the nice, cozy little home. I bet you guys, I bet where you are right now, you got a little cozy little spot. A little cozy home. You're all curled up, all cozy. When your house is haunted like that, it's a different feeling. It's a feeling like you're always being watched. You experience bursts of emotions for no reason. You know, things affect you. Sometimes things move around. David explains how his coffee grinder, the whole coffee grinder, big giant coffee grinder, completely disappeared for days and then reappeared. His mom didn't take it. His dogs didn't take it. Nobody came in and moved it around. And you would say to yourself, any rational person would say, how could that be? That's impossible. Was it Captain Kirk? You could beam something out, beam something back in again. And then if you read about quantum physics and if you read about anything that has that kind of energy, things like that are possible. You know, things can move. Things can shift. It's like a shift of time almost You know, time may be constant for us in this life, in this world, doesn't mean it is for other things. And that's a theory of tachyons. That's also the theory of neutrinos. So, you know, subatomic particles that can travel faster than light. So that penetrates our reality. That would go right through. Whoosh. Imagine that. So in this dangerous world of Satanism, we go from tachyons to Satan. Anyway, you know what? You want to do something cool on Halloween? I told you what to do. Have fun. But, you know, whatever. Have fun. Dress up. Be all cool. If you're old, you know, there's a lot of people who are like elderly who want to go out there. There's all kinds of volunteer groups and whatever, this stuff to do. All kinds of cool Halloween things. But for friends of mine, the people that I know, and people all around, the people out there in the audience, as to where to go, you know, what's good, it's really an irritating question at this point. Because I don't recommend that you do it. You know, I know there's places that rent out. I know there's places you can rent out. There's all kinds of situations. There's tours, ghost tours. I have friends who give ghost tours. And I'm saying kind of the opposite of what they want me to say because, you know, it's not for everybody. If you're drawn to it and it's a little bit more than a curiosity, maybe, whatever, you know. Otherwise, you know, don't get involved in something that you can't handle. And that's God's honest truth. So, do you think that pornography causes people to get possessed by evil demons? You see, this is my problem with the Catholic Church, right? This is my one of my many, many problems with religion. I will tell you this. If you're going to go around with a campaign telling people that drugs and pornography lead to Satanism, people are going to be like, whatever. And it's not about, you know, like a preacher would say, don't go down a bad path, you know, with drugs. Yeah, that's an honest thing to say because drugs will lead you down a bad path, right? Prescription drugs, anything you can get addicted to will lead you down a bad path. Can you be addicted to pornography? Maybe, I don't know. I guess you can get addicted to anything. But will watching pornography cause you to be possessed by demons? Now, me personally, I don't believe so. I am not a Catholic priest. I don't listen to Catholic priests when it comes to morals because the Catholic Church hasn't been morally righteous, right? So I don't need to look to that. And Jesus would be mad if the one person that they look to for all this great stuff and then they do all these terrible things in Jesus' name, I'd be mad if that was me. You know? So, okay, in Italy, over 500,000 requests this year for exorcisms. Now, let's examine this number. Over 500,000 requests in Italy alone for exorcisms, okay? Now, the Catholic Church only has 9 priests that perform exorcisms. So, I know, 9 goes into 500,000 a lot, right? It's the gazintas. 9 goes into 500,000 a lot. You don't have enough time to run 9 priests around to 500,000 people. And keep in mind, they said additionally there are 10 million people that end up looking for, in their words, wizards, sorcerers, fortune tellers. This is what the Catholic Church says specifically. This is modern-day Catholic Church. They look for those people, and those people are most likely the ones who will manipulate you and make your demonic possession worse. They'll worsen your demonic possession. So a priest that performs these rituals, they come to your house. Let's say your son Billy is displaying, you know, things that are wholly unnatural. He starts speaking in tongues. He starts puking up objects that he didn't eat, maybe food he didn't eat. He starts speaking in the throaty, cavernous type of voice. He starts taking a liking to Hillary Clinton. All of these things. All of a sudden you think, well, Billy, I think that he's possessed. You know what I mean? Not because of the throaty voice and puking up things and, you know, his head spinning around, but, you know, the Hillary thing is upsetting. Really. Very upsetting. We need to call a Catholic priest who's going to come in and examine Billy as long as you're present, because Catholic priests have notorious reputation for liking young boys. I could say that. That goes on. If the Catholic Church doesn't like it, they should change it. But they don't change it, which only says to me that they tolerate it, which is what goes on. If you want something to, if you want to get rid of something, you don't tolerate it. You just go and get rid of it. You act as a group and you get rid of it. Or you tolerate it and let it go on. And they tolerate things. So, okay. So the Vatican, Father Vincenzo Paraborelli, Vinny. Father Vinny is the new Vatican head exorcist, right? I don't know what happened to the last dude. he got gotten, I guess. But maybe he started taking a liking to porno. Maybe if they watched some porno, they wouldn't be looking at little boys. So, this guy, Vincenzo, Vinny, my cousin Vinny, he does about 30 a day. That's exhausting. Imagine going, doing 30, and he calls them diabolical possessions. Right? Diabolical possessions. A lot of them have abnormal strength, violent reactions to prayer and holy water. But can you imagine 500,000? So there are 500,000 people so far this year, 2016, that have reached out to the Catholic Church alone for the help of these nine priests. And if the guy's doing 30 a day, obviously there's a few people who aren't going to get gotten to. My question is, why? Why is it like this? I mean, they said that there's lots more around the world. There's lots more of this stuff going on. And to me, I'm going to sum it up in terms of positive, negative. The negative energy out there is unbelievable. A lot of people I know, especially empaths, are really being like weighted down to the ground. They reach out to me all the time. You know, and I make statements too, like, you know, some days, man, oh my God, you feel like something terrible's gonna happen, you know, and then just something really big, and I still feel like that. I feel like something's building, like a boiling pot, boiling covered pot. It's just building, 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 and then, you know, here we are, this crazy election here in the United States. You know, president, these two people, and Hillary Clinton is way overdue for an exorcism. Yeah, I think they should put her at the top of the list. They're busy running around. I think someone needs to get in there. But, and Trump is Trump. They're both unbelievable, like I can't believe they're there, type of unbelievable, like, oh my God. But what are they? They're two old, rich, white people running for president. And both of them living in the early 90s or late 80s. The things they say, the things that they are, what they do. But what it's done is caused, it's the ugliest race I've ever seen. Ugly, I mean ugly. And that's what evil is. Evil to me is ugly. It's ugliness, you know? And that's what this is. It's ugly. And God doesn't like ugly. So there's so many people out there divided. Everybody's angry. Everybody's fighting each other. There are people fist fighting, people stabbing each other, people, you know, firebombing Trump's headquarters in, you know, North Carolina. I mean, you know, spray painting cars, smashing windows, slashing tires of cars that have Trump stickers. So, I mean, here's the Democrats, the liberals who say, oh, well, we're the party of love, and we're the party of intelligence and whatever. and then they're telling people to go out and commit violence against these Republican supporters, against the voters, against Americans. Who does that? And I don't want to get political, but this ugliness is driving so much negativity, which is probably why there's a need for all these exorcisms. Yeah, I think that there is a negative thing, a flow, a river of negativity, as a matter of fact, and we need to stop it. And if there's only, you know, we're not going to count on the Catholic Church, obviously, since they only have 9 dudes. So either they should be hiring, you know, take an ad out, help wanted, exorcist, most like helping others, cleaning, you know, going to situations where you have like a good nylon poncho on, because they're going to puke up all over you and everything's going to be flying around. Blood and guts and all that. Work late hours, you know, all for free. For room and board, and then a guy in the dress gets to tell you what to do. Yahoo! Yahoo! Sounds like the Kardashian family. Yahoo! So I think that you guys can keep the negativity away from yourself. But I've seen people that are allegedly possessed, man. I'll tell you this. It definitely seems like there's more than one person in there. Maybe 3, 4, 5. I was watching this special on cable. I don't know what the hell channel it was. One of those nosebleed channels, like all the way up. Long time ago. When I used to watch TV, like 20 years ago. I was watching this thing about these inmates that would get locked up. And if they were found to be mentally ill or insane or whatever, they go to a special place, and they can only keep them there for a short time. Then they release them to the streets again, murderers and all that, you know. So this one guy, he had said to these people that there were 7 people living inside of him, and they were demons. And so this woman, you know, this woman's interviewing him. This guy's talking to the camera. Mr. Mild-mannered, okay. All of a sudden, one of these things start coming out of him. His whole face changes. His eyeballs shift. His voice changes. It wasn't like something that he even did. He became something else. He looked like somebody else. That is interesting. And that is out there. Do I think that people will get possessed? I think that weak-minded people can easily be possessed. But I think that people who delve into the dark arts definitely invite it. And then what do? They call Peter and I. Oh, help me, help me, help me. And then we go in. We spend our time, our gas, our money. We drink 15 gallons of coffee. Bring a medium, their time, their gas, their money. And we go in and help somebody. You know, people who were inviting it in, doing rituals, playing with Ouija boards, asking for stuff to come through. You know, maybe your Aunt Bessie doesn't want to talk to you. Maybe something else is going to come through as Aunt Bessie. Maybe there are, like, you know, and we went to a lot of child entities, so-called, and a lot of them are children. And you get a feel for it after a while. You feel it in your gut. You know what you're talking to. You know what you're dealing with. We had one. And it was a crazy situation up at the Taylor House. And that's online. I talking to this. I believe he was a kid. Then this other voice, we get EVP. The kid identified himself as Cahill. He said that. And we have an EVP. And then we found out from, we went back there again months later. We know the guy that owns the building, obviously, and he lets us in there. So we go back there. He tells his daughter that we're going to be there, and she worked at the movie theater around the block, and that place is haunted like crazy, and we haven't gotten in there yet. So this dude sends this guy and his girlfriend to come through and tell us some stories about the place. So they come through, and they had not known about Cahill. We didn't We didn't share that evidence from that investigation at that point with anybody. So this guy comes in, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, because we had found a five-year-old kid named Cahill in that house. And we're just curious how he got there. This guy is like, wow, a lot of weird stuff's happened around here. Even this little kid got ran over about 30 years ago, you know, out in the street, you know, little kid, 5, 6 years old. And then it turns out that he said the kid's last name, couldn't remember the first name, said the kid's last name, and his mom was pretty distraught. She lived down the street. So all of a sudden, like, everything started looping together. And then we knew who we were dealing with. When we were doing this, we're in a room where this kid hangs out, specifically, one room. We ended up calling it, you know, Kendall's room, whatever. We're sitting there talking, Peter and I, and we get this EVP. Cahill loves you. Cahill wants you to take him home. Now, that is some crazy stuff. When you're going over evidence and you hear that, and you know, I know my voice, I know Peter's voice, and I know what we said. And we don't just have one recorder going. You know, we got like 20 cameras. We got like, you know, 10 voice recorders. We have all kinds of stuff. Stuff motion sensitive and everything, plus, whatever ghost hunters have, we have that and more, because we're always thinking of new things and always trying something different just to see what we get and see what works best. But when you hear that, you realize you're dealing with something that is beyond. Ooh, ghost kid wants to come home with me. No. How about no? You're not coming home with me. You stay where you are. And when you leave these places, you know, we had this medium one time, really nice elderly lady, big time, local medium, doesn't want any attention, doesn't want her name out there. She's just somebody who does it for local people, does it, you know, she helps people with problems. And she said, you guys, the two things you're going to have to find out about this is that the more investigations you do, the more sensitive you're going to get. You know, the more things that you'll be understanding about yourselves. And when you leave a place, tell them to stay there and surround yourself with white light. Like you said, imagine that white light going through your body, you know, inside, outside, all around, wrapping around you and the people around you, the people you love or whatever. And then, you know, that's just a good visualization, a way of taking them and putting them away. But if some entity is going to attach itself to you, it could. And you know what? Like in the case of a Homer house with a family and a suicide, and that dude jumped in front of the van, that woman felt guilt. She felt guilt for running him over, even though he jumped in front of her van. She's going 60 miles an hour down the road on a highway. You know, nobody expects some dude to jump right in front of you. And then the guy is just such a selfish douche. Do something like that, you know? I mean, we're talking about a woman with 5 kids that he doesn't know who's coming down the road, but it doesn't matter who. It matters that you're affecting somebody else's life. Then the guy goes and attaches himself to her. So we even contacted the guy's parents. You know, I mean, it was a pretty deep investigation just to find out what the deal was. You know, the guy had a lot of problems to begin with, and that wasn't the first time he tried to kill himself. He shouldn't have locked up. He shouldn't have locked up in a hospital because, you know, he was trying to kill himself actively. He did. And he dragged his family. And then, you know what, even though, yeah, ghost hunt's over, spirit's gone, little girl sleeping in the room again, everybody happy, but their lives are changed forever, and they will never forget that. Those children will never forget that. They will never forget that. So this is what I don't like, man. I don't like selfish people. I don't tolerate it in my life. I don't tolerate toxic people. I don't tolerate any of that. Because if you do, you're allowing negativity to flow. And there's negative entities that love that. You know someone who lives in a haunted house? The place with a morgue. And then beyond morgue, it was, a lot of negative stuff happened. People got killed there and shot there in the past and whatever. So it's just like, why do you want to live there? Sell it. Burn it down. Sell it. Do something. I don't know. Get the hell out of there. Because these people have such amazing, unbelievable fights with each other. And it gets so heated and so angry and even violent. Before they moved into that house, that stuff never happened with them. It's like they all became with the houses. And if you read, you know, people say the Amityville Horror House story is bullcrap because there was a lot of, like, Hollywood involved and a lot of hoopla. I lived in South Amityville. I lived 2 blocks away from the Horror House. And then all kinds of weird stuff had happened there. You know, I mean, there was the murders and that type of thing. But the family that did live there, they all changed. Every last one of them. And their lives had been changed forever. Just by moving it to a place that had so much activity, so much negative activity. It's crazy. So my advice to you is don't move into a haunted house, man. You know, landlords here in the United States have to close if the house is haunted. Even if we moved to that farmhouse, his landlord said, well, you know, there's this depressed-looking woman who's a ghost who walks the halls in that house. And I'll tell you, Pete knew this guy, because Pete grew up in that town where that house is, that farmhouse, and he knew, he went to school with a guy who lived in that place when he was a little kid. The dude said he was terrorized in that room, terrorized in that house by whatever entity that was there. Terrorized. Right? The dude couldn't even talk about it. And you know, a grown man who is, you know, his late 40s, who's afraid, terrified to talk about his childhood when he was terrorized by an entity, that's deep, man. That's some deep stuff. That's stuff that you just want for yourself. When you go out on Halloween, you want to go to a haunted house and, you know, play around and play like you're a ghost hunter and whip out some little equipment, your recorder, and, you know, who's this, whatever, Yeah, that might turn into a bad situation really fast. Then you'll be calling somebody who actually knows what they're doing, and whoever that is, because even I don't know what the hell I'm doing sometimes. Even people don't know what the hell he's doing sometimes. You kind of feel it out as you're going through. It's not like an exact science, you know? It's a science that doesn't match our world. Those laws of physics don't match ours. So it's very hard to put your finger on these things, you know? And it's always different. So you really can't think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like in martial arts, we say exactly this. You don't think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You got to think like 1, 7, 3, 4, 5, you know, 2, 9. As long as all the numbers are there, you're still getting to the same conclusion, I guess, you know, but maybe things aren't exactly in the order that you want them to be. Yeah, so it's all about input, process, and output. So when you go into a haunted house, and we have mediums that run out, they went the hell out of there, they're gone. Attacked by a ghost. We had this guy, he groped more people than Bill Clinton. This guy was a serial killer. Had a thing for women, prostitutes. We brought a ton of beautiful women in there, you know, on these ghost hunts. Other ghost hunters. We did an event there one time, just, you know, all ghost hunters, all people want to experience something. We did a seance that night to cross people over. A lot of them ran out the door, you know, because they got sexually grabbed. And it wasn't just like you're imagining things, you know. You start feeling some icy, cold hands grabbing a hold of you. And that's what Nicole described, that two icy, cold hands reached around and grabbed her, you know what I mean? She ran the hell out of there. I think the one night she left like 6 times. And we say that. When in doubt, get out. Run. Go. Go as fast as you can. Because that's not something you want to deal with, you know. And it's best to be smart and not be stupid. But Halloween's coming. Don't be the people out there that are going to walk around haunted houses and look for something or whatever or invite something. You know, look for something fun, you know. It's my night off, believe it or not. People are like, oh, you must be ghost hunting or doing something cool on Halloween. I like just hanging out, passing out candy, the kids coming to the door, you know, having some fun. Everybody's festive. Everybody's cool. You get to see the cute little kids and all the little stuff. A lot of them make their own costumes. I live in a neighborhood that gets a lot of a lot of traffic. People come from other places, and they dump their kids off in this neighborhood, and they get groups and groups and groups, you know. So I buy cases of freaking candy, and it's a fun night. It doesn't have to be all dark and whatever. So ghost hunting is ghost hunting, man. You know, like I said, if you want to go have fun, enjoy the season. Enjoy the Festival of the Dead. Have fun. Laugh, joke, you know, be festive. Drink some pumpkin wine, whatever. Chill out. Don't be the people out there getting in trouble. And then you got to have to call some exorcist from the Catholic Church who ain't going to show up. They're going to be like, oh, I'm a Saudi. We don't have enough of people to go to show up. Oh, you got the demon. Oh, the little Billy a demon again. Tell them to stop watching that, the Kardashian. They're going to mess them up for life, eh? This is Vincenzo talking. I will see you guys, Michael Angby, live on Saturdays, of course, at 6 p.m., you know? And I'm sure we'll be doing a panel discussion this Saturday after my show about the election or whatever. It's coming up. But for Halloween, you guys, be safe, be smart, be cool, have fun, celebrate the season. You know, don't bring anything home with you that you don't want, because that ain't no fun. This is Discovery Paranormal. I will see you guys next week. This is United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans. Buona notte. Thank you.